He hits one high. He hits one deep. He hits one all the way out and gone. A three-pointer for Yiner Diaz deep into the seats in Miami. And the Astros lead this game 7-1.
That was the swing that we needed there to put kind of the part of the game in a different spot for us. Once he cleared the bases there, we were okay. Here we go. But quality at bats, Carlos Correa's at bats there, walking and getting those singles the other way. Altuve, that two run in the first. Those are big, especially when we're trying to kind of piece it together and trying to get some innings out of our guys. So I thought that we play really well.
All right, that was Joe Espada, manager of the Astros, talking about Yiner Diaz. Three-run home run last night. And Seth, as you pointed out earlier in the show, Yiner really, really solid over the last couple of weeks, an OPS of over 1,000. The last month or so, he's been back in that 800 range OPS. He's been really, really good. The Astros win last night 7-3 over the Marlins. They anytime you're having one of these games where you're using Okert as an opener and you got Bluebaugh throwing three innings against a team that's been playing very, very good baseball.
And going against a pitcher who's been pitching really well as of late.
Quantrill, yeah. And it was really interesting, the numbers for him that they were showing the third time through the lineup,
yeah,
which came to fruition yesterday.
Pena got up and really took advantage of him.
Dude, it's crazy. The third time through the lineup, people are basically, the other team turns into Ted Williams. You got a 400 batting average.
I know.
It's wild. It's wild.
It could have been a really uncomfortable night. And then you come out, and, you know, Abreu and Hader pitch with it wasn't a save situation, but neither of those guys have pitched in four games.
Yeah.
You start to feel, now that Arrigetti is coming back, it feels like you've weathered the storm in terms of having to play with all these minor league replacements. You add guys to your team at the trade deadline. You've got Arrigetti coming back. You built that big lead. You squandered some of it, but it was all for very understandable reasons. And now the fact that Yiner and Christian Walker, I think, have settled into at least at the very least what you know Yiner's high bar is. You know, maybe he doesn't have to stay at 1,000 OPS for the next few weeks or anything like he has for these last few weeks. But Christian Walker's been much more his old self the last month or so.
This was my thing yesterday when they, you know, you're on Twitter during the day and you're working, you're doing your thing, and all of a sudden, at about the same time, Chandler Rome, Brian McTaggart, and two or three other people are posting the lineup for the Astros that day. It happens. It's a daily ritual. And yesterday, I'm looking at the lineup and I'm going, okay, this is starting to look more like a lineup you can head into October with. Yeah. You know, like this is two weeks ago or a week and a half, whenever it was they were getting swept by the A's, you look at the lineup and you're going, oh my God, I can't believe, like, Cam Smith is not even through his rookie year. He's barely played 100 professional baseball games, mm-hmm. and you're moving him around like a Swiss Army knife. Yeah. He's batting leadoff. He's batting cleanup. The only spot he hasn't batted in the lineup yet this year is in the three hole. And now you look at the lineup yesterday, you go, okay, Jeremy Pena, all-star, leading off. Jesus Sanchez, okay, capable big league hitter. 740 OPS, we will take it with Jesus Sanchez. You got Altuve batting third, Hall of Famer. Carlos Correa's batting cleanup. Hadn't had a great year, but he's Carlos Correa. That's a name you can put in there credibly. He's not Victor Caratini batting cleanup. He's right. Carlos Correa batting. Christian Walker has been batting well lately, batting fifth. Yiner Diaz, batting well, hitting sixth. Now, all of a sudden, Cam Smith is batting seventh where he should be. Mauricio Dubon is batting eighth. And then you got Urias batting ninth. Like, this looks more like a lineup you could actually go to battle with.
Well, and then, you know, another nice thing last night, Urias made that really nice snag in the first inning.
Yeah.
At second base. Yeah. And, like, that's okay. You've added to a team that's already really good defensively, you've added other good defensive players. I know it doesn't feel like it based on the first few games, but Jesus Sanchez is actually a good outfielder. He's had some sketchy moments as he gets himself acclimated.
Yep.
While smiling the entire time.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So, right now, I like the power rankings, Seth, when it comes to any sport, really, but particularly baseball and football. Right now, the experts, I've got four of them. The Athletic, I'm not going to do a power ranking of the power rankings just because we're up against it a little bit. But The Athletic has them ninth. MLB.com has them eighth. SI.com has them 10th. USA Today has them ninth. I would say this feels about right for where they should be. That one stretch they had at the end of June, where all of a sudden they're at the top of the power rankings with everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, even the most diehard of Astro fans that I interact with, and I think even you and I are looking at those going, all right, they're not the best team in baseball. They just happen to be one of the best stories in baseball at the time, given how they were winning with makeshift rotations and makeshift lineups. You know, ninth, eighth, tenth, and ninth. I will say this. I think once they get back to full strength, they are better than the eighth best team in baseball.
Yeah.
You get your pitching, full complement of pitching back, and you get a good version of Yordan Alvarez plunked down in the middle of this lineup, and this is a top five team in baseball.
The Athletic, who had the Astros as ninth, they're followed by the Yankees at 10th, by the way.
Take that, Yankees.
The Yankees, it's funny, the Yankees added like three relievers at the trade deadline, and then the very first game, they had a six-run lead going into the ninth.
Yeah.
They bring in their new reliever and just make it destroyed.
The Yankees are a really talented team that are really, if you don't like them, they're fun to watch this year, or fun to follow, because they make a lot of mistakes.
I like the exactly. Well, and as honestly, I'm not even ashamed to say this. I kind of enjoyed losing to the Red Sox game after game because I knew it was screwing the Yankees.
Yeah,
they are inevitable. The Astros are inevitable when it comes to screwing over the Yankees.
That's a good way to look at it.
All right, so I like the Athletics write up. They have the Astros at ninth. They said a less loaded word would be comfortable.
Oh, their word is the deadline in a word is the category, and it's snuggly is the word.
So he says a less loaded word would be comfortable, but I like the extra warmth that snuggly provides. Carlos Correa is back, and the dude is like a human blanket for owner Jim Crane and the Astros. Can he still be effective? Is he physically compromised now? Why is he chasing pitches out of the zone more often? Doesn't matter. Pull the soft wool of Carlos Correa up to your chin and take a deep breath.
Dude, this
it's
is
all
so
going
accurate.
To be fine.
This is so for a lot of Astro fans, it really wanted Carlos back. And I was cool with him coming back, especially for what they got him for.
Yeah.
They didn't trade anything for him, and they got the Twins to pay a lot of the freight. But there were people like they didn't care. Like they would have paid the full contract and given up prospects to get him. That's these people. Like that's who they're describing. Like
is he a regular third or second baseman moving forward? Shh. Don't worry your pretty little head about it. Correa is back, and he'll help fix everything.
This is funny.
And then he says, not even sure if this is snark at this point. Much, much sillier ideas have worked. I don't think. Silly?
Oh. Hey, 5 games in?
Yeah.
Correa's been fine so far.
I don't know. Yeah, to call it a silly idea, I think, is ignoring really the biggest element of all of this is Correa in the postseason.
Yeah.
And which is a very real thing. I think, Sean, some of the less fortunate amongst the baseball fans and writers don't understand what it's like to actually have some kind of a, like, almost a verifiable it factor in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, that it factor sustained that golden era window probably 2 seasons longer than they really should have been.
Super golden
just because
era,
they were so experienced in the playoffs.
Yep.
We saw this with the Patriots back in the day. There was an element to them having played so many playoff games that other teams would just kind of crumble under the pressure and the weight of the playoffs. And the Astros got to that point where they didn't, where other teams would crumble. They just stayed the course and they figured out ways to win. And I think Correa is 100%. You can document it with Correa.
Yeah.
He's a freakishly consistently good player from series to series in the playoffs.
He's made of that stuff, man. Like he's made of that type of material for
he's
sure.
He's a bright lights guy.
Yeah, he's a bright lights guy. Yep. All right. Payne and Pendergast. Hey, if you're watching on the YouTube or Twitch, you're actually for this segment you got to see. We should probably
going to turn
around.
It back around.
Yeah, you got to see if you're watching. You got to see what the Greenbrier looked like behind us here. So we'll see. Maybe we get it for another segment, but we like to give a little peek in for the people.
Let's try to keep it for another. You guys might see us being told to turn our cameras around at some point.
Yeah, we want the people to see. There's nobody working out. There's literally zero people out here.
The first time an actual football person shows up in the frame, we'll spin it around.
We will spin it around. But if you're just listening on the Odyssey app, you want to pop open your YouTube.
And just hope for our sake that it's not like Christian Harris doing an Oklahoma drill. and dominating and devastating people. I mean, sure, you guys would be happy, but we might get kicked off the scene.
Yeah. We need to get – if you haven't noticed, 4-hour show. So
they turn around and Christian Harris is power cleaning 500 pounds and then running a wind sprint into a tackling
dummy. They're literally doing a surgical procedure behind us on Christian Harris's calf. Yeah.
Well, that's the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah, it's just anything that would be voyeuristic. All right, Payne and Pendergast, heading into the 8 o'clock hour, let's talk about what we saw yesterday at the Greenbrier. 5 big things that we saw yesterday at Texans practice. Practice number 2, we got practice number 3 today. That is coming up next.